Right, all right, all right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Sonic Reformation. I am Jeff Sanders. Along with me is Mr. Britt Watson.
Here.
Present. How's it going, buddy?
It's good, man. Day after Christmas.
Yay.
Broke as a joke. Yeah.
Niece and nephew cost some money, don't they?
You're right about that. well worth it, but still broke. It's good. It's actually, it's always, I don't know if you feel this way. It's a sweet relief after Christmas.
Yeah.
And yet, there's this hype leading up to it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But once it's over, it's like, okay. I can breathe.
Mm-hmm. So. A little calm sensation.
Yeah, yeah. So, how was your Christmas? Good?
Good, man. Good.
Yep.
Got clothes. That's what I need.
Clothes? Oh, okay. Yep. I thought you meant C-L-O-S-E for a second. And I was like, it's like, what? Got clothes. Close to what?
Some new jeans, new shirts.
Good. You got close to some new jeans and shirts.
That's right.
Atta baby.
All right. So today we are going to talk a little bit about Sadie Robertson. Everybody knows who she is from, was it Duck Dynasties?
That's it.
She is the daughter of Willie Robertson and Phil Robertson's granddaughter.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say this. Let me just throw this out there. Sadie, I don't know her just from the interviews and, you know, the little YouTube stuff that she's done. Seems like a very sweet and charming young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Very tremendous speaker. And seems pretty mature for, what's she, 19 or 20?
I think she's 20.
Okay. Sounds, you know, like I said, very, very talented young lady. So please understand that what we're doing here is not attacking this young lady personally. However, again, this goes back to something that we have said time and time again, that a woman should not be preaching nor teaching in front of the church, behind the pulpit. Of course, pulpits, most churches don't have pulpits anymore. but they should not be preaching and teaching. They should not be teaching over men. And so when you told me to check this out, she's speaking at Passion City Church, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Louis Giglio's church. And Louis Giglio holds a conference, I believe it's each year. I can't remember the time of year, but it's called the Passion Conference.
Uh-huh.
And then Louis gets like big name speakers in there, and it's in Atlanta, Georgia. But where he gets these, and I think they do it in other places too, out west and up north. Anyway, so he's the pastor of Passion City Church, and Louis's a weird dude. I mean,
I haven't looked into him at all.
Man, Louis, his sermons are a lot like what you would expect today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of personal stories.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of Bible. So Louis Giglio fits in with the so-called pastors today. A lot of story time. Not much depth into the word.
Mm-hmm.
But what's striking about Louis is he gets this huge crowd. He like his niche is the college age group.
Right.
That's what the Passion Conference is geared towards, your college age kids. So you would think Louis, being a man that's been a pastor for a while now, would want these young, impressionable minds to hear the true word of God. And what Louis does is he brings in like Christine Kane, Beth Moore.
Mm.
And what's crazy is John Piper. John Piper will go and speak.
Really?
Yeah. and Piper, man, Piper's a little fruity. Piper's one that I think he's got some tremendous books out there, but some of the stuff he does, it just, yeah, I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of Piper, and I know what y'all people are thinking. We're like, well, who are you a fan of? Because all you do is get on here and complain. there's a lot of sound folks out there. I mean, you've heard us talk about, and when we say sound, it doesn't mean that we agree with everything they say. But I mean, the late great R.C. Sproul. You want to go listen to some solid sermons, solid theology. He's got tons of videos on YouTube. John MacArthur. Tons of videos on YouTube. Justin Peters.
Man, I'm really loving. I haven't watched any of his sermons.
Right.
I've only been watching his courses that he goes to the church. Yeah. And it is amazing the way he speaks.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's very humble yet to the point, educational. Mm-hmm. The one that I did watch, I've completed it, was Clouds Without Water.
Yeah.
I think that's part two of like a four-part service that he does.
Yeah.
I think the next one I've got to watch is Dangerous Doctrines. Mm-hmm. I've watched about 15 minutes, but each one is about 45 minutes long.
Right.
But dude is just, to me, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's solid.
I love listening to him.
Yeah, Vody Bachum. Vody Bachum's another dude that I really enjoy listening to. Paul Washer. Joy Paul Washer.
And you think we're hard on people.
Yeah, I know. Alistair, is it Beck? Yeah, I think that's correct. But anyway, so I'm rambling now. I've gotten away. So just so you know that, yeah, there are sound theological teachers and preachers that I would love to just sit and listen to. I wouldn't even have to say anything. Just put me in a room with them and just let them talk. And absolutely amazing. It's so back to where Louis Giglio and his little passion conference. I mean, he'll have the big name groups come in to sing.
Jesus Culture.
I was going to check and see. You might want to check and see. I think Jesus Culture may have performed.
I'll look it up here in a minute.
I'm not certain, but yeah, it's groups like that. So really, he's wanting to reach the college age, but what he's given them is just wretched teaching.
Deception.
Yeah. So if I'm not mistaken, what takes place and what we're about to listen to with Sadie is she is a prime example of this type of teaching, you know, affecting this college age group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not nowhere in scripture do we see any women teaching and preaching in front of a church. It's not going to happen
anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, not just in the church, but anywhere.
And, you know, one of the things it says is for, you know, older women are to teach younger women and help them come up. But you're talking about an older woman teaching younger women. You're never going to find, you know, a church full of men and women with the teacher preacher being a female. It's not there. And matter of fact, the scripture speaks exactly against it. So, you know, I think it's one of the things that people like Louis Giglio and this very soft so-called Christian message that's going out there, this is how it's affecting the college age group. And this, it's pretty much just a namby-pamby social gospel type theology.
And they dodge, like, anything that is anywhere near disrespectful to someone else's feelings, they will dodge it at all costs.
Yeah.
It's not in this video that we're going to play a sound clip from, but she also does these little clips where she's sitting and having a cup of coffee and talking about a certain thing for like 10 minutes. Yeah. And in one of them, she started going on about how people ask her this and ask her that. And one of it was like about, I think, homosexuality. And she was like, and I'm not going to talk about that right now. You probably never talk about it.
Right.
And it, when you do, you probably dance around it just like Hillsong Church, you know. I mean, my whole thing with all this stuff that we try to point out to people, it all comes back to me that it doesn't matter what people judge you by, you know. It only matters when you get judged by God. So, and it goes into the whole, you can't pick and choose scripture. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to be a true believer in Christ, then you cannot reroute scripture, pull scripture out. It's, you got to face it head on.
Yeah.
And the hard stuff reflects on everybody. It's not like me and you are sitting in this room like, well, we've never had to go through this because we don't do it.
Right.
No, man. I mean, you want to know my life story, email sonicreformation@gmail.com, ask me questions, and I'll tell you. I mean, I've done stupid stuff. But it's the fact of being born again and acknowledging that this is God's word. And who are we?
Yeah.
Who are we to say, well, no, that's not what God meant.
Right.
Or that should have never been put in the Bible. I mean, come on, man. No, that ain't the way it works.
You know, something that, again, this culture of so-called preachers and teachers that have just gone tremendously soft when it comes to discernment and protecting the flock. This is what surprises me with someone that's got, within the Christian circles, has that big name, such as Louis Giglio, is that my understanding, and I don't know where Sadie is now, but she was raised, the Robertsons are Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So Church of Christ also believes that for one to be saved, they must be baptized. That's part of the regeneration, the regenerational process. And that's, it's not scripturally sound. I mean, if we go to, you know, certain passages within the scripture, it's plain and clear how one comes to be regenerated. And in Romans 10, 9 through 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's nothing in there about being baptized for this to take place.
Nope.
And that's one of the things that it's so difficult for folks who have been brought up in like the Church of Christ, who have sat underneath this teaching and preaching of one must be baptized before the true regenerational process is complete. How does somebody like Louis Giglio, if Sadie Robertson, first, she shouldn't be preaching in the first, just because she's a female, we'll cover that. But how does somebody like Louis Giglio allow her to come into the church, preach and teach, if she believes in this doctrine? That's where I think that's where the church has failed. And when I say, you know, I always say this, but when I say the church, the so-called church, you know, where the people come and gather and hear loud music and then more about the pastor than the scripture, this is one of the downfalls of Western Christianity. Is it's gotten away from the truth, and with it getting away from the truth, it's producing folks like Sadie Robertson and Louis Giglio, Stephen Furtick, Joyce Myers, Joel Osteen. Let's see, who else may be out there? Oh, Rick Warren, Bill Hybels. You know, it's folks like this that's producing
mm-hmm.
this type of millennial thinking when it comes to Christianity, and it's just so far off. But I'm rambling.
No, but I mean, yeah, you're on the point though. Well, let's roll a little bit of this Sadie Robertson clip and let everybody get an idea of what we're coming from. And for the five people that are listening, I think we do have five official followers now.
Oh, wow.
But excuse me. This is all you got to do is on YouTube, just type in Sadie Robertson, and it's the first video that pops up. It's about 31 minutes long. We're not going to play all that because we want to keep the five people that we've got. Yeah. But this is a little clip of it. So let's check this out.
Listening to Priscilla Shire. I don't know if y'all know her. She's an amazing speaker. Yes. Can we stop shout out that? To my girl. And
no, I'm sorry. We got 2 seconds into it, and she says the name Priscilla Shire.
That's her mentor.
Yeah. Well, Priscilla Shire, again, as a so-called female pastor, and she's got a book that came out. I'm not even sure when it came out, but it says, "Is That You, God? A Taste of Discerning the Voice of God." And
I bet there's no discernment within that book.
Oh my goodness. So let me just read you a quote, because she promotes extra biblical revelation. So you don't have to. So pretty much what she's saying is the Word of God, the Bible, is not enough. We still have to have some type of extra biblical revelation for us to truly understand who God is.
Doesn't Paul clearly debunk that?
Well, you know, I personally, if you believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and you know, there's been debates over that. I'm one that, yeah, I'm cool with Paul writing Hebrews. But I've read this before, but if we go to Hebrews 1 and just go right at the top here, says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." So, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So, in the understanding, what else do we need when it comes to the Word of God? And if the Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, says, you know, that you do not add to nor take away from, well, it sounds to me like the canon is closed, mm-hmm. that we've got everything we need to know. And yet, apparently Priscilla thinks that we still need some extra biblical revelation. So let me just read this quote from her.
I bet it's amazing.
It is. It's great. Now, this is this is Priscilla. "Before you read any further, let me assure you of an important point. To not speak contradicts God's nature. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, is called the Word. That designation stands at odds with silence. God loved you enough to die for you. He loves you enough to communicate with you." Okay, I'm going to end that right there, and I'm going to throw this in. That's why he gave us the scripture. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the Bible. Okay, back to her quote. "The Lord and will speak to you if you've placed your faith in Jesus." I think that's supposed to say, "The Lord will speak to you if you placed your faith in Jesus. First, however, you must expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can ring in your ears and heart." Priscilla Shire.
No.
Yeah, the other thing she says is, throughout this booklet, we will focus on the Holy Spirit's role in tuning our spiritual ears to the sound of God's voice.
No.
Yeah. Now, I love what John MacArthur said in his Strange Fire conference, when MacArthur made the following point. "Show me a person obsessed with the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you a person not filled with the Holy Spirit."
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, Pulpit and Penn did a little article on Priscilla Shire, and that's where I got this. Okay. Back to Sadie talking about her mentor, or who she loves to listen to, Priscilla Shire, and then on to the next stuff. Sorry.
She said this really cool thing, and I was listening to it in the car right here. She said, "All of God's promises, it's like God isn't just going to put them in our way and we're just going to, like, you know, like all of a sudden just have them, but he's going to put them in our reach so that we can reach out and grab them. So we're on our way here, and I had this whole message prepared, and everything was cruising, and you know, you're just like, man, this is just a great day. Thank you, Jesus. And then he speaks the word to you, and you're like, wait, did you just say that to me? Because I'm really confused now. And he spoke a word to me, threw me off. I was 3 minutes from being here.
Sadie, the reason why you're confused was because that wasn't God's voice.
Nope. I'm just going to keep saying no.
Yeah.
Because this, that's about the best thing I can say. Carrying on.
3 minutes. I was so close. Almost made it. And we were driving in all this traffic, which y'all have a lot of traffic. This is not like that in Louisiana. Wow. And so we drive past this homeless man. And our eyes locked. And I just felt something in my heart that God said to me. He said, that man, I died to take his pain away. He said.
God said that to her? Because they locked eyes?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think a little bit further in the story, she says the guy's an atheist, right?
Yeah.
And he won't allow her to
leave the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. It's getting to that.
Okay.
But just to point out, God spoke to her twice now.
That's.
Go out and put it in his reach. And then you're going to see how I feel. I was like, okay, are you sure? Can somebody else do it? I literally prayed that somebody else would do it as I'm watching this happen. And I watched this man walk by. Here's the homeless man. He walks by. He looks and he keeps walking. And then all of a sudden, I see him go. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And then he walked away. I was like, oh, no. Now I'm really going to have to do it. So we keep driving. And I tell my friend that's driving. I said, look, I'm sorry. This is not going to make sense. I know we're already running late. But you got to turn around. You got to turn around. And I grab my Jesus Bible. And I walk up to this man. I said, hi, I'm Sadie. I said, I don't have any money, honestly. I don't have anything on me right now, but I do have this, and this is everything, and I want to give this to you. And he looked at me, and his eyes filled with tears. He said, no, I can't take that. I said, well, sure you can. Sure you can. Like, please, take it, please. Like, I really want to give this to you. He said, no. He said, I'm an atheist. I said, okay, well, just take it, please. Like, please take it. He said, no, I'm not going to take that. I can't. So I said, okay, I'll respect that. So I start walking away. And I turn around and I look at him and I said, are you sure? He said, yes. So I lay the book down. He goes, no, don't leave it. Don't leave it. I was like, do you want it? He's like, no, I don't want it, but don't leave it. I said, okay, why? He said, please give it to somebody that will take it. Because somebody needs it, but it just can't be me. And my heart broke. And Jesus said, that is how I feel. Because Jesus is extending his hand to us with truth, with promises, with something that can save us from a dark world. And sometimes we just say, no, we don't want that. We're just going to lay here. We're just going to stick with this life. We just walk away. And Jesus is saying, no, are you sure? Please take it. I died for this. Please take it. And some of us just say, no, we don't want that, Jesus. He said, are you sure? He tries. He begs. But it does take us pursuing him. It does. There has to be a moment that we have to pursue him. And that guy knew somebody would. He knew. He didn't feel worthy, and that breaks my heart because we're all worthy. But he knew that something in that book was good because he didn't want me to lay it on the floor. He didn't want me to give up on it. He saw it in my eyes that what I was holding was truth and something I believed in. And so I challenge you, when you walk onto that campus, you beg people to take the truth. But when you beg, you better know the truth. That's about enough.
Well.
So, in this, we have to accept Jesus Christ begging us to come to him. We can talk to God, and God can talk to us. The first thing that I wanted to point out, was there any references to Scripture in anything she just said?
Well, no, because it would contradict what she just said.
Exactly. Go to
John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. That's Jesus. Jesus isn't begging.
No. One question I got, Britt.
Yep.
And I ask you this because you've been to seminary. Mm. What is the difference between the Bible and the Jesus Bible?
I don't know.
I quote, she said, I grabbed my Jesus Bible.
Yeah.
I'm
not sure. I'm really not. So, you know, here's something else. So John 6:37 says, again, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And then if we go to verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So, by her turning Jesus into this man who's begging and pleading on the throne, I think that just goes to show just how deep her theology truly goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really quite sad because, again, like I'm saying, I think she's very talented, seems to be a very talented young lady. Great speaker. I can't imagine, you know, a 19, 20 year old standing up in front of that large of a crowd and going like that. But it's, the sad part is that what she is talking about is not the God of the Bible, not the Jesus of the Bible. And for her to make that statement, that, and this may rub the wrong way, but anyway, when she laid that Bible down on the ground and the homeless atheist panicked or was freaking out, it's not a Quran. I mean, we don't view the Bible the same way that Muslims do, as it's this holy relic that cannot be touched with Gentile hands.
Yeah.
So that's but Jeff, I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, we do this, is because this is pretty much what is being taught from behind the pulpits on Sundays and Wednesdays. These personal stories, these extra biblical revelations. And the thing is, when you have somebody come along, say, like, just we were talking about a MacArthur, a Peters, you know, a Paul Washer, and when they sit there and call out these people by what it is they're teaching and preaching, which is against the word, they're going to be attacked by being called haters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be like, well, you know, you guys are judging what these people are saying. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's what a pastor, it's what a Christian is called to do,
mm-hmm.
to be discerning.
Just like you said before when you brought up the Bereans. I mean, why are we not doing that now? I mean, what has happened to where it went from the Bereans that would question an apostle,
yep.
to we can't question a church?
Yeah. You know, this is where I think part of me believes that this is probably God giving us over to our sins, in the sense that we don't want to hear the word anymore,
or no,
never wanted to hear the word in our fallen state. But many of folks remain in that fallen state, even though they've been going to church their entire life, or, you know, for many years, but they're not hearing the word.
Mm-mm.
They're hearing this kind of nonsense. And you know, so often when someone like Sadie, because I'm sure she's heard her favorite pastors or so-called pastors, preachers and teachers, you know, say, God spoke to me, God laid this on my heart. well, this has been going on in the church for some time now. So what ends up happening is when these pastors make these kinds of statements, they're elevating themselves above the congregation.
Yeah.
So now they're almost, I don't want to say being idolized, but, you know, well, God speaks to that man. God reveals himself to that man. Who are we lowly folks to say anything to him?
Yeah.
And so you're going, what they're doing is they're taking the scripture, which is objective, you know, factual, based in the truth. And what they're doing, these pastors and teachers now are staying in this subjective world, mm-hmm. where they can make it sound as if, yeah, they get direct visions and words from God. And again, who's going to step up and be like, well, we probably need to say something to him about that, but this guy gets direct revelation. And then, and here's the other thing, is a lot of times in these types of churches, there are no elders, which is a biblical position. There are no elders holding that pastor responsible.
Right. And everything you just said matches up with Matthew 24:24. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders. Just like she's just saying, a great sign to me would be Jesus speaks to you so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Yep. You can also go back to 2 Timothy 4:3-4. I've read this one before. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths.
Right.
That is so simple.
Yeah. Well, it's simple, and yet
people
don't want to hear it because it's the truth.
I wonder how many people have actually even read that, even just that verse. You know, I'm sorry, I keep coughing, man. I mean, still with 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. The word of truth is the word of God, not these visions and all this ridiculousness. I don't understand how people get in this mindset that, oh yeah, I'm born again, I'm a true Christian, I'm a true believer, but let me tell you what God told me last night. How?
Yeah.
Are you studying scripture at all?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you want to put me on a scale of, like, beginner, novice, expert, I'm somewhere in between beginner and novice, and I get it. You know what I mean?
So this type of teaching and preaching that's going around that teaches in this manner, these types of churches with pastors that are all about, you know, the special revelation coming to them, these churches are growing by leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
You have someone
because you got itching ears,
right, that need to be scratched. So you have someone like Stephen Furtick. Stephen Furtick came out with a book a couple years back called Crash the Chatterbox, Hearing God's Voice Above All Other Participants. Oh, that's his guide. I'm sorry. That's the name of his guide. But that's what, you know, and then he's got a sermon, Furtick does from 2017, How to Hear from God.
Hmm. I wonder how much that book cost.
Well, that's actually a sermon that he did. But this is what is so concerning is our lack of discernment. It's gotten to this point too. I believe, and I may be wrong, but, you know, God turning us over to the desires and sins that we crave, and one of those is to be under this type of false teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is we keep going back to the word discernment, which is that should be constantly on the back of your mind anytime you're listening to someone teach.
Absolutely.
And right here, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Philippians 1:9.
Yep. What does that mean? That means as God, you know, from the point of God rescuing you, the Holy Spirit regenerating you so that you can come to the truth, you're being sanctified in the process to be set apart, to be made holy. And part of that sanctification process is for your ears to be more discerning. As someone stands before you behind that pulpit and they're teaching and preaching, you should be able to check everything that they're saying to the scripture. The problem is that no one is really teaching from the scripture anymore. They'll read a scripture verse, but it'll be out of context, talking about something totally different. And then they can go in these subjective little stories about their personal lives. So how can you question that? I mean, you can't dive into scripture and see where Sadie was, you know, driving to speak at a conference and God told her to talk to this homeless guy and they locked eyes and it clicked. And then
Jesus spoke to her to give her that she needed to give him the Jesus Bible.
Yeah. I mean, it's just complete and utter nonsense. And then again, the reason this is continuing is I'm sure she follows someone like Joyce Meyer. Also, she's already claimed Priscilla Shire, and Priscilla is a mystic that, again, likes these extra biblical revelation. And then you got Joyce Meyer, who says something. She says this: God loves you and he has an amazing plan for your life. But in order to experience real freedom through Jesus Christ, people must first learn how to trust in him. But if you want to have the freedom to be who God has created you to be and have the life Jesus died for you to have, then you have to face the truth. So, with that type of theology, Jesus did not die to rescue you from your sinful nature, from your sins against God. No, Jesus bled out on the cross that day for you to live an amazing life.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Joyce would go and talk to the apostles. How amazing was their life compared to, you know, the Western culture and how we want to present an amazing life today when they're running for their lives?
Mm-hmm.
11 of the 12 were killed for preaching and teaching the word. And yet this is what is passing as Christianity. No wonder it's kind of a laughing stock out in the world. It's because of nonsense like this. Jesus died because we're sinners in need of a savior. Jesus died to pay our sin debt. That's why Jesus died, not to live your best life now.
Yeah. Live your best life now.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, this is what, statistically speaking, I'm not sure, but churches are teaching and preaching now that Jesus did not die for your sins, but to give you a better life.
Yeah. And he's begging you to come to him.
Right. You know, we had a,
that all goes back to man-centered to me. It's about me.
Yeah.
Not Christ. Yep. It's me.
Yep.
No.
So not far from here, there's a good-sized church. I mean, it's considered a mega church because of the amount of people they have. But their pastor got up and said that he's, and I'm paraphrasing, so it's not an exact quote, but he's fed up with these churches that have pastors that tell the congregation that they're sinners, even though they've been rescued, saved, regenerated. He didn't use those words. But this is what drives me absolutely nuts, is that, you know, yeah, we have been rescued. We have been saved. Our sin debt has been paid in full. But while we're still here on this earth, we're still sinners. Every Sunday we come together, we need to hear about what Christ did for us. For the most
part. Wait. Are you sure about that? Because Joyce Meyer says that she's free from sin.
Yeah, she did. She did say that.
And so, I mean,
that's heretical.
You're arguing with Joyce Myers.
Yeah. Well, sue me.
Please continue to argue with her.
Yeah. But, you know, it's little things like that. The church somehow today has been turned into these self-help, feel-good sermons to where if you're not walking out celebrating how great you are, well, then that just wasn't a very powerful message. That wasn't a positive message.
No. And I've said this before, man. I mean, we sound like broken records sometimes, but so be it. I actually feel better after going through, say we only do 5 verses on a Sunday or a Wednesday.
That's happened before.
Right. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, I think 2 Sundays ago, we made it through Romans 10:19 through 21. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's some Sundays where you knock out a pretty big chunk, and then there's some Sundays where it might only be 5 verses. But the tougher it is, the shorter we got to go so we can get through it. Yeah. But that's the thing, man. If you are a true believer in Christ and that you truly believe that everything he did and sacrificing himself cleansed you of all your sin.
Past, present, and future.
Exactly.
Yep.
Why should it be so hard on you to learn the scripture? This is teaching you what you've done that Jesus already knew was going to happen, and he paid the debt for you.
Yep.
So you can beat yourself up about it if you want, or you can take it in and understand more of what Christ did. The point I'm making is, you know, people look at these verses and they're just like, oh man, these are some hard verses. We shouldn't read these. We shouldn't talk about this in church. Jesus paid for it.
Yep.
Learn it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me say this.
Just go ahead and cough, Britt. It's okay, buddy.
Man, I sound like I swallowed a scouring pad. So let me say this. So whereas a lot of folks would look at the teaching and preaching that goes on here as hateful, as bringing people down, depressing. But here's where, to me, it's actually refreshing in knowing that I am a sinner, that I am this person who wanted nothing. I didn't want anything to do with God. That I would rather spit in his face than listen to him in my natural fallen state. And yet, God would have been just in just sending me to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I deserve.
It's what we all deserve.
Yeah, that's exactly what we deserve. Because of our sins going directly against him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, what does he do? He does something that no man would ever do. He sent his son to die for the wicked, the wretched, which is us. And if you sit there and you think about it, it's like, dude, even that, just as an example, that pedophile terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
If that pedophile terrorist comes to believe, that means that God sent his son to die for that pedophile terrorist.
That's right.
There's not a single person on this earth that would have his son pay the debt of
a pedophile.
Yeah. I mean, if that pedophile was on death row and this guy went to the judge and said, hey, look, I don't think if I give my son and I put him in that electric chair or lethal injection or in the noose, whatever. I don't think we still hang people here, but you know, if I did that, I give you my son to let that pedophile walk. Will you do that? There's not a single person out there that would do anything like that. And yet the creator of everything gave his son for that
only
pedophile.
Son.
Yeah. For that pedophile who came to believe, mm-hmm. who comes to believe.
Yeah.
And to me, there's...
And just to clarify, you saying come to believe, that doesn't mean if he's sitting in his cell or if he never got caught and he's sitting on the couch and just says, Lord, I accept you. You're my Lord and Savior.
Right.
That is not being born again.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, when we talk about that, there has to be this whole transformation, this regeneration mm-hmm. that takes place from within. But
if that happens to a pedophile,
yeah, then absolutely.
Then
you know
he'll
be breaking bread with Paul up in heaven.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely and amazing.
Yeah, and if people listen to this and they sit and say, well, how can you say that he's going to be sitting in heaven breaking bread with Paul? You know?
Yeah, because of God's grace and mercy. That's it.
Exactly.
I mean, if he comes to believe, then that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and one of the things that Sadie Robertson said in her video, I don't remember if it was in the clip or not, but she says something about people need to understand that they are worthy of God's love.
Mm. Yeah, no, we're not.
No.
That's...
We are wretched sinners.
Yep.
We defy God.
Yep.
And...
Yeah. And so, by that type of thinking, then that's just a false understanding of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to come from it from that perspective, it's actually watering down how loving God is.
Yeah.
I mean, we are, you know, pretty much disintegrating by that way of teaching and thinking his grace and mercy upon the wicked. And so this is why when you know, we're going through passages here, and even as believers, we're still sinners.
Absolutely.
I mean, we are still sinners. We still need to hear the good news. I'm not saying you're going to fall out of believing. That's not going to happen. Once God has you, you're not going anywhere.
No.
Which is something else the Church of Christ teaches, that you can lose your salvation. Mm-hmm. You can't lose your salvation. You're not getting out of the hands of God. But, I mean, we're still called. Even when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So he's teaching them how to pray. And, mm-hmm. and yet, you're still going to be repenting
yeah.
of your sins. It's not because, you know, you're now saved, you're no longer a sinner.
I just can't believe that people even think that, because to me, the truth behind the human nature is, even when you are regenerated, you still have the human brain going on, mm-hmm. and you know, you are still gonna sin. Where in Scripture does it say that once you are born again, regenerated, that you can do whatever you want?
Yeah.
Everything's okay now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, does that mean that people that are born again, we can go out here and have sex with whoever we want, kill whoever we want, live it up?
Yep.
But then you got the island over here of the non-believers. Ooh, yeah, hey, don't do what we do.
Yeah.
You're treading on rocky ground there, buddy.
Yeah, you know what?
Come on, man.
I just realized I did something. I stopped a verse short in the Lord's Prayer of getting to the point that I was trying to make.
So you stopped at give us our day, our daily bread.
Yeah, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts.
Mm-hmm.
What's our debts? That's our sins. That's our sins that we're still creating. So
no, it's not. It's planting your harvest.
Yeah.
It is sowing your seed.
Yeah.
It is how much can you pay to get salvation? Quit lying to these people, Britt.
That's true. I apologize.
Ah.
Let's see here. And then you were just talking about, so if we're no longer sinners, then we can just go out and do whatever it is that we want to do, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's a heresy called antinomianism.
Right.
And but it's any view which rejects laws or legalism and is against moral, religious, or social norms. So when it comes to Christianity, the distinction between antinomian and other Christian views on moral law is that antinomians believe that obedience to the law is motivated by an internal principle flowing from belief rather than from an external compulsion. So a lot of times what we end up seeing is an antinomian would sit there and say, I can pretty much do whatever I want to do. I mean, I'm not concerned with the law anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the law, you know, serves three purposes. It convicts, guides, and for the non-believers, it condemns. But for the believer, it leads us, it convicts us, and it shows us what a good work is.
Exactly.
So just because you become a believer, you don't throw the law away. You can't. Yeah.
But wait. If I can lose my salvation, then I can get it back later, right? I mean, so, Britt, I'm not married. You know, I want to go out and party and have a good time and pick up some women. I'll give up my faith because, you know, I can get it back.
Yeah.
What verse is that in scripture again?
Hesitations 3:17.
Oh man. Oh. So yeah, I mean it's just I mean this whole thing of God is begging us to come to him, which is basically saying be born again. We have control of that. I mean, how do we have control of that? We have control of nothing. But yet we can control when we're going to be born again and how. Oh, if that was the case, man, I would have never been saved.
That's right.
And I would be drunk in a ditch or dead.
Yeah, well, I mean, if that was the case and if you could, you know, choose God, if you could reach out to God and in a sense, on your own with that dreaded word of free will. Well, if it's you obtaining your salvation and it's you who gained your salvation, then logically speaking, it's you that will lose your salvation.
Yep.
Because you would blow it.
Mm-hmm.
You would blow it.
Everything that we talk about on here, you know, like you call me or I call you and we'll tell each other something like, man, you got to look this up. You know, you got to watch this video or, you know, texting each other about it. It amazes me at not the fact that there's so many false teachers out there. It's the fact that there's so many people that follow it.
Yeah.
That's the hard part for me,
right?
Is people buy into it. You know, I can't remember during Justin Peters' seminar that I was watching on Clouds Without Water, he's showing videos of, you know, false teachers. And on one of them, I can't remember the guy's name. It's just gone. I lost it. But he's doing a church service,
right,
and telling people that God does not control when you die. You do. He can't tell you when you're going to die.
It's an older guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Kenneth Copeland?
Nope. He's got completely white hair.
Not Benny Hinn.
Nope. He's one of the bigger names.
Not Jesse Duplantis.
No. He dresses like a gangster. He's always got like the black and white, real nice dress shoes on.
Is he a white guy?
Got a kind of a Louisiana kind of style accent.
Are you sure it's not Jesse Duplantis?
It may be.
Hang on, I'll pull a picture.
God, it's driving me crazy.
Hang on, let me pull a picture.
I can see him. Yeah. I just can't get his name in my head. But yeah, dude. I mean, in that video clip that Justin Peters shows on him, I mean, word for word is saying, God does not tell you when you're going to die. You tell God. If that was the case. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's him.
Oh, Jesse Duplantis here.
I mean, if that's the case, I mean, that you might as well throw your Bible away. I mean, because everybody's going to live forever.
Right. Right.
Yep. I don't ever want to die. God can't tell me when I'm dying. Really?
Yeah. Well,
he can put you down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now.
Well, I mean, it's what he did to the two in Acts who, you know, told the church as they're giving their money to the elders that, yeah, this is all the money that we got from our property. And it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
They had some stashed back. And, God killed him, struck him dead. Then the wife comes looking for her husband. They pretty much give her an opportunity. Is this all the money that you made off that property? Well, she goes with the same lie. God kills her. So, I mean, it's, yeah.
I do have one other question for you. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No.
If you want to delete this part of it, you can, man. But one more thing about Justin Peters' video that I was watching is he talks about in Scripture, it talks about if you are born again,
yep,
or a true believer, however you want to phrase it, that you are anointed.
Right.
Do you agree with that? Like, if you are a true Christian, you have been anointed by God.
Yeah, so here's what I would do. I would just go to Scripture on this because I do not disagree with Peters. I'm with him. But 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So, yeah, that's where I would go. And I would say, yeah, Peters is correct.
I can't remember watching back, because a lot of times he'll put the scripture that he's going from up on his, you know, monitor and everything, but I think that he just kind of hit that real quick,
yeah,
saying, yep, you know, do you believe in Christ, are you a true believer in Christ, then you're anointed.
Yeah,
that's it.
And, so there was that one, and the other one that's really clear is 1 John 2:20, where it says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all have knowledge. Excuse me. So yeah, there was that there. And this is actually concerning the Antichrist. Let me just start at verse 18.
Okay.
1 John 2:18, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. So, yeah, that was the other one that I was trying to think of there, too. So, yep.
I'm getting an education every time we do an episode, man.
Well,
so, I mean, even if we drop back down to, like, me and you just being the only two following the podcast, I'll still do this just so I can get some education.
Well, and you can drop down to a few verses a little bit lower down. It says, I write these things to you about those. Verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him.
But yet, these false teachers will sit and say, well, I've been anointed, you know, I have powers through my anointing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you go back through the scripture you just read,
yeah,
you are no more anointed than every other Christian.
Well, we've got a serious issue with them claiming to be anointed when they stand before the people and lie. I mean, just continuously lie to benefit themselves. So.
Yeah, and I love how some churches say that they anoint in a new apostle.
Yeah.
that I mean, that truly just, even for my little peon brain, dude, it makes absolutely no sense.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if you were ever sitting in a church and they were anointing an apostle that day, the best thing to do is just to get your stuff, stand up slowly. If you got kids, go get them also, and then just get out of that church as quick as possible, because you can't anoint something that doesn't exist.
Right.
And apostles don't exist today. So,
are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you, man.
I am positive.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I'm glad we brought up Sadie Robertson, because she's a young lady.
Yeah.
I don't really doubt her faith in Christ.
Sure.
You know, I truly think that she is a true believer, but she's been misled.
Yeah.
She has been strayed away from the scripture,
right,
by false teachings.
Yep.
And you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about her. I don't agree with what she said in that video.
Correct.
I mean, really from beginning to end.
Right.
And if you're not going to watch it, I mean, you need to, because I mean,
it titled?
You just type in Sadie Robinson, and it's the first video. Okay. I don't think it has a title. But, you know, I mean, even the part where she was talking about the barnacles, is that right?
Well, I was trying to remember. I listened to it. I put the speed up. I've listened to part of it before, and then I listened to the whole thing, but I listened to it at like 1.5 speed. So,
Yeah, she goes into this whole, like, it goes back and forth to where it reminds me of like a comedian telling a story.
Right.
You know, they'll start out with a specific little thing.
Right.
And 10 minutes later, somehow that story comes back to the beginning.
Okay.
And that's kind of where the punchline, it's like they're giving you the punchline to start the story.
Right.
And then it connects back to it. And that's kind of how her story was for me, is okay. Like it immediately made me think of like a way a comedian draws you in.
Yeah.
And not that she was telling anything funny,
right,
but it's just that method of storytelling and how the barnacles are just like these people think they're just nothing, they're worthless, they live in the dark
plankton. That's it was,
but then they, you know, they work their way to the surface of the ocean to get the light,
yeah
to take photosynthesis back to the dark of the ocean.
Right Lower than a plankton, was that the story?
Yeah. So it's just kind of like, Sadie, I love you. I do. I love you. And, you know, I used to watch Duck Dynasty, you know, and the Robertsons are probably a great family. Sure. You know, do I agree with everything? No.
No.
But are they bad people? No. She's a misguided youth.
Yeah.
And I'm praying for her.
I know.
So, all right, brother, anything you got?
Nah, man, I think that's good.
You think we've bored people long enough hopefully we haven't bored them, but
I'm praying that we haven't.
Right. But, all right, man.
Yep.
Well, this is another episode of Sonic Reformation in the books, then. If you guys have any questions or concerns, please email us at sonicreformation@gmail.com. And we hope to be back on there again soon. So far, nobody can kick us off because we don't work for anybody.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we're doing this for free. So
keeping it real.
That's right, baby. All right, guys. Till next time.
Have a good one.